Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
If you've ever entertained the idea of learning to ski, but aren't sure if you can, this program is just for you, because we'll be following the development of a group of beginners in a Swiss ski school, people who have never been on skis before. And I think the results will amaze you. In between, we'd like to try to show you how much fun skiing is, and you'll be getting some good advice from experts on the questions of equipment and safety. To start off, let's take the train up to the well-known resort of Wengen in the Bernese Oberland. Like other Swiss resorts, they offer a 6 or 7 day course for rank beginners, costing about $40. In Wengen, I met Carl Gamma, the head of the Swiss Ski School Association. What advice does he give to those planning to take up skiing? Tip number one, physical fitness.
Well, our wish would be that people arrive already physically prepared. It makes it easier for them, and it is much less dangerous. Skiing is not a sport without any dangers, and to be physically prepared means a lot.
And of course, if they're not physically prepared in the beginning, they lose a lot of time that could have been put to other use.
Yes, they lose a lot of time, and the progresses will not be so fast.
Let's take the average person, let's say in the 20s or 30s or even more. Is it possible for these people to become relatively good skiers even though they have no prior experience?
I think it is possible for people of every age to become a good or a safe skier. But the best way is to learn it when they are learning walking. Our children in the Alps, they start with 3-4 years. And with 10 years, they are already experienced skiers.
As Mr. Gamma said, skiing does have its dangers. And if you're going to entrust life and limb to a complete stranger, you deserve to expect proof that your instructor knows what he or she, as well as you, are doing. Fortunately, Swiss ski instructors are rated as among the best in the world. And there's good reason. Here's Carl Gamma on what it takes to become a certified Swiss ski instructor.
First of all, he has to be a good skier. He has to know how to ski and to handle all conditions. And then there are several courses all over Switzerland. In Switzerland, there are about 5 or 6 places where he can get the certification. In several cantons, a ski teacher student has to work during 2 winters, has to do a practice.
And is the qualifications or are the qualifications fairly well standardized all over Switzerland?
The qualifications are standardized. Mm-hmm. Also, the ski technique, the teaching technique, the method is standardized.
And would you say in general that a ski teacher is someone who, let's say, feels a sense of responsibility, perhaps more than some other people? He realizes the significance of the job he has.
Yeah, of course. Many of them are mountain guides, and everybody knows what it means to be a mountain guide.
Before we actually go onto the slopes, we obviously need some equipment. But don't let out a, aha, that's the hitch. Because you can rent equipment to start off with, and buy only if you feel like it. But Victor Gertsch, who runs a large ski shop in Wengen, told me there's one piece of equipment that you should buy, because it's the most important part of your outfit. That's the ski boot. While skiing, the action of leg and foot has to be transmitted effectively to the ski, and that's why the ski boot should be carefully selected for your individual foot. The newest boots on the market are almost entirely plastic. Victor Gertsch says they're a mile ahead of the old leather boots.
Plastic boots give very good support. They are mostly made with a shell on the outside and a soft in boot.
Aren't they colder than leather boots?
They are much warmer.
Are they really?
They isolate very well. You can have a soft inside and a hard outside. Whereas leather boots used to be very stiff at the beginning. It took a long time to break them in.
So with the plastic boots, there's no real break-in time then? They conform to the foot right away?
There is no break-in time. You can ski right away out of the shop.
Now, let's get on to the skis. What advice would you give personally, as an expert skier yourself, to someone who comes in and says, please help me, I want to ski, I want to buy skis, but I just don't know what I need?
The best skis are today plastic skis, fiberglass skis. Metal skis are not made anymore. Fiberglass plastic skis are much better on ice. They are more steady on the slope. The salesman has to know the standard of skiing of the person. He has to know how often he skis.
The other important thing, certainly of great importance, is the binding. Do you recommend always the safety bindings these days?
Always safety bindings. That's very important. There are no other bindings but safety bindings on the market.
I think in a good binding, your weight, your size, your height and so on is very important for the adjustment and ultimately for the releasing of the bindings when you need them.
Yes, it is. The weight and especially the strength of the bone. We have a special measurement where we can measure the bones, and we have a scale, and then we can tell how much the binding has to be set.
Good advice from Victor Gerch of Wengen. And believe me, safety bindings have saved many a skier's ankles and legs, and that includes mine. And by the way, I took Mr. Gerch's advice on plastic boots. After years of skiing with leather boots, I've bought a pair of the plastics, and now I wouldn't ski with anything else. And if you're keeping an expense list, figure about $200 to $250 US for a good outfit, and that includes skis, bindings, poles, and the boots. At least, that's what they would cost you new here in Switzerland. But remember, you can also rent. Well, now that we're equipped, we're ready for our first experience on skis, under the watchful eye of a certified Swiss ski teacher. It was a Sunday when I went to Wengen in the Bernese Alps to see a group of about 20 beginners of all ages and from several different countries. The six-day course starts in Wengen and ends with the group being taken above the village to the Kleine Scheidegg, where they ski back down to Wengen in about 1.5 hours. Let's talk with Lisette Wursten, the group's instructor. After 6 days of lessons, how well will these beginners be able to ski?
It's also different from one person to the other. But I think after a week they can already turn someone in stem Christie, someone in snowplow turns, or even in parallel turns when they are good pupil.
But at least everyone will be able to keep themselves up on the beginners courses, slopes, and other people even on the intermediate.
Yeah.
And how difficult is it for you? How much work does it take for you to keep up to date with all the new techniques we hear, always new techniques coming out? This must be a lot of hard work on your part as well.
Yes, it is, but we have always repeated courses for the teacher.
And the people here are rank beginners. They've never been on skis before. Do you stay the whole week with these people, or do you change courses or change classes as well?
No, not this week. Here we have the course, you stay with your class the whole week. Mm-hmm. And when you have person who are advanced, you put it in another class. Mm-hmm. But usually you stay the whole week with your class.
You take them from beginning to end?
Yes, that's it. You go up with one ski to the other with side steps, and you change the weight from one ski to the other.
What is your name, please?
My name is Summerson, Jan Summerson. I'm from South Africa.
Well, it's only been a matter of minutes almost that you've started the course. What are your first impressions of being on the skis and having the instruction?
I love it, every moment of it. Mm-hmm. But so far I haven't fallen, but I know that will.
How do you find the instructor?
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Easy to follow, easy to understand?
Easy to follow. I think this is an international language. You just watch her and copy her and it comes. Mm-hmm. It comes by itself.
You're from England, I believe?
Yes, from England.
What is it like, having never been on skis before?
Well, being nearly 60, I had my doubts, but my sister's very good at it, and she encouraged me, and I'm very, very pleased I started.
What is the most difficult thing about starting?
Well, the effort required, of course, to really the feeling is you're going to make a fool of yourself by falling over. As everybody falls over, one soon becomes accustomed to that it happens. Falling over doesn't necessarily hurt you. It does occasionally, but it's not bad.
How are the instructors?
Very, very good.
You're from Holland?
Yes. I'm feeling very well on these skis. I can turn and I can stop. And I'm not afraid anymore.
Well, do you believe that after 6 days you'll be going up to Kleine Scheidegg and skiing all the way down for about an hour and a half?
Yeah, I think so.
You're also from Holland?
Yes.
What made you decide to learn to ski?
Because I felt an outsider not skiing.
So it's a feeling of really accomplishment, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is, really. Mm-hmm. You feel very much satisfied.
What will be your feeling when they take you up into the train, up into the Kleine Scheidegg, and to the more difficult skiing?
I'll tell you, as long as we have the same kind of teacher, I feel fully confident that we are not going to have too dangerous experiments.
As our beginners go through 6 days of ski instruction in Wengen, let's take a quick trip to Zermatt in Canton Valley, that world-famous Swiss resort in the shadow of the Matterhorn. You might prefer to learn skiing there. You'd get the same lessons taught by certified Swiss ski instructors. While you're in the hands of an instructor, there's little chance that you'd suffer a serious accident. But some people do. They're the ones who think that lessons are a needless expense, and they think they have so much natural skiing talent that they can teach themselves. That's why we have ski patrols. They're top skiers, responsible for rescuing injured skiers and getting them down for medical treatment. In Zermatt, a Canadian by the name of Bruce Underwood is one of the few foreigners on a Swiss ski patrol. While sitting on a sun-drenched terrace, enjoying some Swiss white wine, Bruce told me what it takes to become a member of a Swiss ski patrol.
Well, in order to be a qualified Swiss rescue man, you have to take the Swiss Ski Federation course, which is held every year, once in German and once in French, taking first aid methods, treatment, and practical skiing with a sled.
We hear very much that in automobile accidents, for example, speed is a factor, or people overestimating their ability. Would you say this is also a cause in skiing accidents?
Well, we find that most accidents are actually the rank beginners that don't take care with their equipment. Things like having your boots too loose or having your bindings badly controlled are your main causes of accidents. The good skiers tend to take more care with their equipment and in this way prevent accidents.
From your experience, what advice would you give to people who are possibly beginning to ski or do ski already for preventing accidents? What are the main points to remember?
I think the main point comes with the binding control, how you have them set, knowing your own ability on a true scale, not overestimating yourself to be a champion skier, and knowing your ability and knowing when you want your skis to come out, and avoiding twisting falls or things like that.
And let's say there's an accident, you get on the spot, you pack the patient into the sled. How much time passes before that man is in medical care?
I should think half an hour to 45 minutes he would be in the clinic.
Bruce Underwood of the Zermatt Ski Patrol. But remember, ski safety is an important part of the Swiss ski school courses, and if you're trained by a certified Swiss instructor, your chances of suffering a serious accident are very much reduced. We stay in Canton Valley in southern Switzerland, where just a mountain hop away from Zermatt is the village of Sasfay. Although I could have gone to any part of Switzerland to talk about skiing, I chose Sasfay because it's one of those beautiful Swiss resorts which are very popular with the Swiss themselves, but relatively little known outside the country. And in the case of Sasfay, I'll never know why. The skiing is magnificent, and the rustic village has to be seen to be appreciated. The prices are low, and the sun is intense. The snow is a skier's dream, and at an altitude of 6,000 feet, you can even ski in the summer.
One of Sasfei's outstanding features is the unusual mixture of expert and beginner slopes. In fact, Sasfei has had a reputation as being an expert skier's domain. But this is wrong. There are several novice slopes near the village, and long stretches of the so-called expert slopes are a pleasure for the beginner and intermediate skier. This is an asset for the serious beginner who wants to progress to tougher skiing as soon as possible. And that's the philosophy of the Sasfei Ski School. If you've got what it takes, little time is lost before you're placed in higher classes. In other words, accelerated ski instruction. Here's Sasfei ski instructor Hans-Peter Buhmann.
From the first moment on, for instance, beginning on Monday morning at about 10 o'clock, you have never skied before, you go in the first class. If you're quite good and sure, if you feel that it's good, you will be in a second class, in the beginner's class, in the afternoon. You're getting pushed forward to a next beginner class. And from their class, you're pushed again to the other one. And I think for a normal skier, he should arrive in 2 weeks about in the class three. That would be intermediate.
Skiing is fun, and part of the fun is après-ski, literally translated from the French, after-ski. And that's exactly what it is. After a rewarding day of skiing and sun, you look forward to the atmosphere of a cozy cafe or restaurant. You relish the local dishes and a few hours of music and dancing. Relaxation and ski talk is the order of the day, or better said, the evening. During après-ski in Sasfei, I had a chance to talk with a few skiing visitors.
Well, let me reach over to the other side of the table. We have someone from Sweden. Did you learn to ski in Sweden or in Switzerland?
Well, I've learned it here.
You have come back to Sasfei on several occasions, or is this your first time here?
No, it's my first time here, but next time I'm coming back.
And a Swiss who has been to Sasfei for many, many years, what do you think the Swiss looks for in a resort?
First of all, good slopes to ski, good skiing condition, and that when you go on vacation, you do find slopes with snow on. And of course, also the nightlife is helps a lot to make a good vacation.
Well, let's turn to an American. What brought you here?
The fact that it's not an area for foreigners, it's more an area for Swiss, and so you find maybe the price is a little cheaper, and the skiing is more molded around the Swiss mode of skiing.
Did you learn to ski in Sasfei?
No, I learned to ski in Berner Oberland.
If we're talking to people who don't know anything about skiing, who think they'd like to start to ski, what advice or what sort of recollections to give people an idea what it's like to learn to ski, so to give them a bit of confidence?
Yeah, I think the best program to learn to ski is through a ski teacher, because it's like learning anything else. I think you need guidance, and for guidance you need a professional. And anyone that has the Swiss qualification, you know he's a good skier.
A spontaneous recital by some Swiss skiers who are obviously enjoying après-ski in Sasfei. Back now to the Bernese Alps. Remember our novice skiers in Wengen at the beginning of the program? Well, they're not novices anymore. 6 days have passed, and now they're up at the Kleine Scheidegg, starting their descent of 1.5 hours back down to Wengen. It's the end of their course, and their run today is the grand finale. I gave the group a head start and then got my own skis on and took off to catch up with them.
Down the slopes we go. This is quite a nice slope here. Ah, and the wind, very soothing indeed. Beautiful burning sun, high alpine sun, which can put a terrific tan on you, as you may know. Still haven't caught up with my people. Let's give it a try, get behind a group of other people here now. We're making their way, looks like another school. And now we're sort of climbing up the side of the run. Looking to my left, nothing but a gigantic snow field. It's absolutely beautiful. And now we're come to a nice place where we can take a general ride down. Beautiful snow. It's packed powder. And we come to rest. Well, we've caught up with the group that we're looking for. Sorry, I forgot your name, but I know you're from South Africa. You were one of the people who started on Sunday, and here you are up on the intermediate slopes. Do you believe it?
I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have believed it to start with. One can't believe one's own capabilities.
What was the highlight of the six-day course?
Today.
Today?
Today, being up at Klein Nishadik.
You find there was a lot of preliminaries, a lot of technique, a lot of rudimentary things, and now you can all put it to use?
Yes, we put it to use, but we're doing it very slowly, but I think it's all due to the instructor. Fantastic woman.
She's been keeping close to you all these 6 days?
All 6 days, next to all of us. I think it's the greatest week I've had, virtually, I'd say, in many, many years.
Well, good luck and good skiing.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I saw these people on Sunday, not even being able to walk on skis, and now here they are on an intermediate slope coming down from the Kleine Scheidegg in the shadow of the Eiger, the Munch, and the Jungfrau. I forgot your name, but I know you're from Germany.
John Query.
John Query.
Yeah.
Well, 6 days, and here you are up on Scheidegg. Do you believe it?
No, I don't.
I think you were a skeptic, weren't you?
Well, I'd never been on skis before. I'm the most surprised one that I enjoy skiing. In fact, we plan to come back next year at this school.
What do you find the most exciting thing about skiing?
Oh, it's quite a challenge. It's, I don't know whether it's just the ability to handle yourself on skis over country like this or what. It's just, there's just a variety of factors.
Well, I'll leave you. I wish you very, very good luck. Thanks a lot.
I would have stayed up there all day, but I had to get back to Bern to do some real work. And there you have it. Do you still think you can't learn to ski? I hope that what you've heard today will convince you that an inexpensive course of 1 week in a Swiss ski school under the supervision of a certified Swiss instructor could turn you into a skier. Skiing is fun. It's healthy and satisfying. And it's the classic way of spending an active winter vacation in Switzerland.
If you're a railroad fan like me, then I've got just the thing for you, the rail bike. Actually, this type of rail bike is a modern version of the old railroad handcar. The new feature is that you pedal it like a bicycle. It's got places for two to pedal and a seat in between that will comfortably accommodate two others. It's fun, and it's good exercise, too. The rail biking I've done is on a 4.5-kilometer or 2.8-mile stretch of abandoned but well-maintained railroad track between the village of Laupen in Canton Bern and the neighboring village of Gümmenen in Canton Fribourg, a beautiful river area which is a mere 15 minutes from the Swiss capital Bern. The old rail spur was abandoned in 1993 and has since been replaced by a bus connection. A local entrepreneur came up with the rail bike idea and saved the rail line from demolition. The rail bike line at Laupen starts near the present-day rail station and terminates just below the regional rail station at Gümmenen. At the end of the rail bike line are grill facilities where people relax for a while before the return trip to Laupen. There's an abundance of undisturbed wild flora in the immediate area, which is an added attraction. The rail bike journey averages 20 to 30 minutes in each direction, depending on your speed. A word of caution, though, this is a form of adventure tourism and requires a modest degree of physical condition, not so much for the pedaling exercise, which is easy, but rather to be able to physically pick up the rail bike vehicle and turn it around at the terminal for the return trip. Sometimes you meet another rail biker in the opposite direction, and one of you has to dismount and give way. Although it's possible to do it alone, a second pair of hands is a definite asset. Rail bike rental at Laupen is 80 francs, or $65, for 2 hours, and extensions are possible for 10 francs, or $8.50 per hour. Rentals are based on four-person adult occupancy, and they're flexible in the case of children. Additional attractions and services are available for groups. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.